Good morning, everybody. I told Dad the other day, I have had to listen to several things, a lot, but good thing I drive 3 hours a day. It gives me a lot of time to listen. I get it. Dad calls me a nerd. I think it's just excitable. I get excited when we talk about this kind of stuff, because who likes listening to stuff that they don't understand? Hopefully not very many of you. You just kind of sit there, maybe bored. And the Bible is sometimes hard to understand. And I think to get a clear understanding, there are times where the English language does not necessarily do justice to what Christ said. And so Dad told y'all last week to bring your pencils, and not very many people showed up, so I'm not even going to tell you what he's talking about next week. I know there's a lot of sickness going around, but over the next, I'll try to make it short because I know people are probably hungry. But over the next 20-ish minutes, I want to show y'all and hopefully convince y'all that our translation of the Sermon on the Mount may not be just one word, may not be only the first 12 verses, may not be the best translation. People have heard this translation growing up, and so I hope the question in your heads is, why on earth are you trying to change it? Because that's logical. And anytime somebody's messing with a word that is in the Bible, I hope in your head you're saying, your immediate reaction is, no, that's not right. So I hope that's what you listen to me with this morning, is the, no, that's not right. But I hope over the next 20-ish minutes that we can figure out that Christ was saying a whole lot more than maybe we're reading. So, Sermon on the Mount, we have the Beatitudes is what they call them, and we have these nine, what is presumed and understood as blessings. But what I'm here to tell you today is that it's not necessarily blessing. God is not blessing up front. And this is going to make it even more backwards, and that's why I love the verse that Desiree put on the bulletin. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because the Bible is teaching us stuff backwards to human nature, is it not? You ever read something and you're like, nah, I don't know, trials aren't very fun. You ever go through something and maybe you read James chapter 1 and the first few verses and you go, I don't know about that. It's not super easy to consider it joy when I'm going through hard stuff, through loss, through. And what I want to show you today, and I did bring, not expecting you to memorize them, but we're going to focus on three words. I want us to understand that when Christ was speaking in these moments, he was not speaking English. Hopefully we know that. He was speaking more than likely. It's not even Hebrew. Let me pull it up. There's a few words. I'm going to give you a couple words, and we're going to talk about them a lot. So, we're going to go over a little Aramaic, and this is, I know there's, who's bilingual? Is anybody bilingual here? No? Oh, man. That's okay. I have a lot of people at Otterworld that are bilingual, that speak Navajo or English. or Navajo, English, Spanish are most of the time all the time the languages spoken at Otterworld. So this may be a little bit outside of y'all's realm, but I hope y'all grasp it to an extent. Christ was more than likely speaking Aramaic at the time. It's a cousin language to Hebrew. It's maybe like Spanish and Portuguese. A lot of people can understand both languages even if they don't know the nuances of each language. And what I want to tell y'all today is there is a Hebrew or Aramaic word for blessing. It's Baruch. The word used in this is not Baruch. It's Ashrei. So that should already start sending alarm bells off in your head. What it was written in originally, because I think that's also important, is Greek. This would have been New Testament. The Greek Septuagint is what will be what I'm going to reference. And Makarios is the word that gets translated into blessed. And this isn't something that's weird or odd. This is something that's actually, that word is used 45 times throughout the Bible. So it's not like it always gets translated in English as blessed. But what I want to say is I don't necessarily think that's a terrible translation. What I do think is that blessed or blessing has lost a lot of weight over the years in the English translation. So the people that I listen to, I like to listen to, translate this as the good life belongs to those who. What they say is Ashrei. So Ashrei, the good life belongs to. And what that means and what hopefully is different than what sometimes we think about is God is saying, these people that I'm already talking about are living the good life already. They're in a state, living in a state of blessing. They're already blessed. So we're going to read through a few of these because that sounds really backwards, doesn't it? So I'm going to translate, or I'm going to say the good life belongs to. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, going to start in verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, the good life belongs to the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The good life are for those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The good life are for the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Kevin talked a little bit about the meanings of meek and poor in spirit, and we read an amazing poem this morning in class that was talking about Hannah, Samuel's mom, has this poem or this prayer in 1 Samuel, and she's saying, or pre that, when she's asking for offspring, she says, I am poor in spirit. I'm afflicted. I'm poor in spirit. How many of y'all think that sounds fun? Where your will to live might be a little diminished. We've probably all been there. Where you're going through something that just doesn't seem like it's worth it. Where you're afflicted. You're going through trials of many kinds. And James reiterates what this is saying. When it's saying, consider it pure joy, what Christ is saying right now is, hey, those who are afflicted, those who are powerless, those who don't have it all, are already living in midst of blessing. It's not a call out of that state. What we often think is, hey, Christ is blessing these folks. When they go on their way, they're going to be set up. What he's saying is, hey, where you're at right now, you're living in my blessing. That sounds odd, doesn't it? And Kevin talked about it a little bit, and I found a video that I wanted to play for you. Hopefully, I don't know if this microphone will do the ringy thing, but if it does, then I won't play the video and I'll paraphrase it. I'm about to play a video. It's a man that I'm not going to call him Christian yet, but I think he's on the right track. And what I want y'all to listen to is the words that he speaks, because this is indicative of what Christ is saying right now. Last week, Kevin says, hey, it's hard for people with everything to understand a lack thereof. People who have it all, it's hard for them to grasp the concept of Christ. Because what is Christ saying? I sent my son down to die for y'all. And the grace is not earned. The grace is given to anybody. See, there's a hierarchy, especially back in these times. There's a hierarchy of people. I mean, low class, not much of a middle class. Slaves and masters. There's this very big spread of people. And he is sitting there talking to the slaves of the land, talking to the afflicted, talking to people who may have once had or maybe a generation removed for somebody who had. But right now they got nothing. So I want to play this video for us. Again, if it's not going to ring.
And look, I know some people out there are atheists and stuff, and they don't want to believe in anything, and that's, you know, and I can't understand it. But I also come from a place where I think I've felt alone a lot. And so, if you're telling me that there is a free being, a free body, a free parent, a free love, a free heart out there in the universe that will help me not feel alone, that's a lottery ticket that I don't have to scratch, man. I'll take that all day. I'll take that all day because I want to be a part of something bigger. I don't want to be a part of just myself.
Do you hear what he said? I come from a place where I've been alone a lot. Christ is talking to him, to the afflicted. He's got this group of people who, Dad talks about the Chosen a lot. I like their portrayal. First episode, they're getting their taxes collected. And they're sitting there and they're like, I don't know what we're going to do this year. I don't got it. This is a take. I'm not saying this is completely accurate, but I do think it depicts fairly accurately the times that they were living in, is that they don't have it. They tried to get it by gambling it away. And it didn't work. So now they're in the place of lack, of nothing, of being potentially thrown in prison, of all the consequences that comes with. And they're sitting there, and they're without. What this guy is saying is, man, I don't get it. I don't get people who don't believe in something. Again, I'm not going to say that this is a Christian man, but you can see his thought process starting to turn towards God because he is without and he's heard the good news and there's something appealing about it. There's something exciting about it. He says, that's a lottery ticket I don't have to scratch, man. That's exciting. And God's sitting here talking to the afflicted and he is saying something that in that day, that time, I can only imagine them sitting there and having their minds blown. Because again, they're not hearing blessed or blessed are those. Because then you walk away and sometimes people might think, hey, things are going to start turning up, right? Maybe I should go buy a lottery ticket. No, what Christ is saying is you are already living in a state of blessing. Ashrei, you're living the good life. When people walk around and they see somebody in this time, again, this is just a word. This isn't some biblically made up word. This is a word of the time. If it was in your life, how many of y'all have aspirations and wants? How many of y'all see people who are living your aspirations and wants? Even if it's, I'm not talking biblically right now, I'm talking generally. You have aspirations and wants for where you want your life to go, and how many of y'all have seen people with the stuff that you want? So if, in a non-biblical context, if I was in that position and I was walking by somebody that has what I want, I would go, oh, Ashrei. Like, hey, they're living the good life. That's what I'm aspiring to be. If hopefully that helps it click a little bit, that he is saying, Ashrei are the poor in spirit. And these are people that nobody walks by and is like, oh, Ashrei, they're living what I want. Kevin said before he started this, is he was reading the Sermon on the Mount, and the thing that kept popping into his head was, did he really just say that? It starts off with nine blessings, or nine, again, not so much blessing, but Ashrei. Nine things that turn our human wants and desires and turn them upside down and say, hey, that's not the good life. This is the good life. Why is it the good life? And that's where I like to bring in the second part of the verses. Blessed, or the good life, belongs to the poor in spirit. Why are they already living amongst blessing? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The good life is for those who mourn. Why? For they shall be comforted. The good life is for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Or the good life for the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We don't spend enough time in the Sermon on the Mount. James is an incredible book that parallels the Sermon on the Mount very well. Because just as the Sermon on the Mount starts with something that seems outlandish and different than how our minds are geared, so does James. And what I want to point out is why I started the communion the way I did, is we go through these things, these trials, these tribulations, these afflictions, and what do we want? Out. We want out. And I'm not saying we're supposed to stay there or pander there. We're always supposed to be moving forward, but when our mind's so focused on getting out, what do we miss? The blessing. We miss that God's saying, hey, when you go through trials, when you go through tribulations, when you're afflicted, when you're oppressed, when you're a people group that knows without, I'm a whole lot more prevalent. You hear about these multi-millionaires that are Scientologists, right? Why? They haven't been without. Being without causes you being alone. This guy said, man, I've been alone a lot. Been alone in my life a lot. So out of that loneliness comes the desire to know Christ. He goes on, he has a podcast, he goes on to say, man, I think Jesus would be an amazing guest on my podcast. I just want to talk to him. And that's where I say the difference is, because y'all all have the opportunity to talk to him. He's one step away, right? He's so used to being in this time where you can just call anybody up, or you can sit across from somebody in a studio and have a podcast. And he's saying, I want that. We have that. You can sit, you can meditate, you can listen, you can talk. As we go through the Sermon on the Mount, and Kevin will be back up here, don't worry, the JV's stepping down next week. But as we go through this Sermon on the Mount, I want us to realize the magnitude of what he's saying here. Because I imagine it's going to take several weeks for us to just go through the Beatitudes, because there's so much packed into these few verses. And when you read it, I hope you read it as, hey, these are people that God is saying is living a blessed life currently. It's not saying he's going to bring them out of poverty into riches. He's not saying that he's going to never let them mourn again. He's not saying all this stuff. Not for at least right now where we're at. He's saying, hey, you are currently amongst your afflictions, amongst your trials, amongst all the garbage that you have to wade through in this crazy thing we call life. You're already living a blessed life. A couple other, and just pick one and stick to it throughout this Sermon on the Mount, a couple other iterations that they kicked around a little bit for Makarios or Ashrei is, fortunate are the ones who, the good life belongs to those who, you can even say lucky are those who, we don't consider any of these situations lucky, right? Think about it in that context. Think about it as God is already saying that amongst their lives of affliction and stuff that we probably would not trade our lives for, but y'all have it going on in your own areas, you're blessed. You're living what people on the outside aren't going to because they're on the outside. But what God looks at and says, hey, that's the good life. There's a couple scriptural references. And again, I'm going to give these to y'all, but I'm going to wrap up. There's a couple scriptural references that I want to point out that y'all can read. Again, it's going to be translated as to blessed, but if you go to the Aramaic or the Hebrew, the word that are going to be used in these contexts is Ashrei. There is a word for blessing, and it is not the word used in these texts. Psalms 1 and 2, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. David in this passage is saying, hey, When you see somebody living like that, that should be what you look at and say, Ashrei. Another one, and this is going to go more into a earthly connotation, because we all know the rule of Solomon. Now when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. When the queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half that was not told to me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity. The report which I heard, how blessed, how fortunate are your men. They're living in a state of fortunate, a state of blessing. They're currently in it because they get to be in Solomon's court and listen to his wisdom. The Queen of Sheba recognizes it and uses this word, Ashrei. As we go through the Sermon on the Mount, keep that in mind. This is going to be a fun lesson for us all, hopefully. It's going to be challenging because God turns these human orders up onto its head and says, hey, that's not the way that I have things structured. That's not the way that I perceive the lowly, the powerless. And it should be exciting to us. Because whatever position we're in, if you look at wherever you're at in the grand scheme of God, of Christ, and you think on a much larger scale, whatever position you're in, you're lowly and you're powerless. God's calling us. These first three are the what they call the surprise identity of who God's working with. The next three is a higher calling of righteousness in our lives. So I don't know how far Kevin will get next week. Keep that in mind. I encourage y'all to do some looking into it on your own time. Again, I'm not sure blessed is the worst translation, but when you hear that word, it should spark some questions. 'Cause blessed has lost, like I said, a lot of its weightiness. It used to be, God bless you, 'cause God's the only one, right? Humans ourselves have no power or authority to bless. We can pray for somebody and ask God to bless them. But we're not the ultimate authority. Thank y'all for being here. If there's anything we can do for you, I ask you to pull somebody aside as we come and Monty leads us in an invitation song.